adjusting now?
I'm adjusting, sorry. Like a pterodactyl?
It does sound like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
How scary.
That's the, I don't know if you knew when they did Jurassic Park. That was the Foley artist. Was just adjusting microphones.
Perfect.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I know. I'm just thinking they were like that. Yeah.
That was the Jurassic. That was the Jurassic. You know the dinosaur, the Jurassic?
The Jurassic.
I remember that one.
It's my favorite dinosaur.
Sipping on Sondheim while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Here Broadway guests end up acting like loons. This you can find here on Venice and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moon, I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Jimmy.
Jessica.
We're going to have so much fun today.
We're going to have so much fun. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Very early.
Maybe too early?
Well, it's because we are very fancy and have so many things going on, you and I.
So many things going on, yes.
And I love a good early morning wine pairing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to get early morning wine pairing. You're going to get deep-voiced Jimmy having just rolled out of bed. So, this is... Yeah.
Ooh, Tannins and Tunes, the
late night. Ooh, caller, what is your... What's going on? What are you drinking? What are you feeling?
Jimmy, I think you need to go with this voice all the time.
Nobody wants this? Is that not what people want? Hi, ladies. Hi.
So, for people who are just tuning in, Tannins and Tunes is a show where we pair wines with Broadway shows. Just for maybe those of you who are totally new to this whole experience.
Welcome.
Welcome. And
welcome.
A special shout out to our moms because they might be the only people listening.
So, hi, Janet.
Hi, Kathleen. Jimmy, we have a really exciting guest today, and I just want to hop into it.
Let's do it. I'm so excited for this guest.
Okay, so this guest is coming to us from the Broadway musical Anastasia, and she is my friend, the amazing Catherine Boswell.
Yeah.
Woo, what up?
How's your deep voice?
I've got the deep voice.
Ooh, you do.
Before 12, yeah.
Right. we'll just think of this as your warm-up.
That's right.
We do, I don't know if you've heard the podcast, but we do a warm up.
Oh, you do.
So everybody, ba 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 ba.
That's great.
Nobody's doing that with me.
Just you.
Just sigh. Just use your.
Yeah. Just sigh.
Just get it out. Great. Get loose.
Catherine, we're so excited that you're here with us today.
Yes. I'm so excited. This is such a treat.
It's so much fun to actually see your face.
I know.
Because you and I, most of the time, are over the internet.
Yep.
We see each other on the internet.
Same,
We met through congregation
That's
coaching.
Insane. Yeah. That's crazy. So cool.
And it's amazing. She is a wonderful performer and a wonderful person, and I'm so excited that you're here.
In that order.
Yes. One, two. Right?
Better performer than you are a person.
Keep that in mind.
Never.
Sorry, moms.
Okay, so, Jimmy, why don't you open the wine while I talk about the wine a little bit?
There's an oyster on this wine.
There's an oyster on this wine.
Yeah, whoa.
Do you think I was lying to you?
No, maybe I did, actually.
Do you want to take a guess as to why the oyster is on there?
Because it's a pearl of a wine.
That was a good guess, Jimmy. That was a really good guess, actually.
Because it tastes like oysters?
No.
I'd be fine with an oyster wine.
This wine actually pairs perfectly with oysters.
You shut your mouth. Oh. You shut your dirty mouth.
Well, and I didn't think that we should maybe have oysters super early in the morning.
Nobody wants morning oysters?
Yum.
That Christmas morning, I get up, we're still in pajamas, we have coffee, we have morning oysters, and we just open some presents.
Sounds like a good time. Ooh, that's a good pop.
Thank you.
So this is, the grape is actually called Follet Blanche. And it's grown in the Muscadet region of the Loire Valley, so where a lot of Muscadet is grown. And it, like I said, has an oyster on the label because it pairs perfectly with light white fish and oysters and any kind of shellfish.
That's so kind of ingenious. Like, no other wine is just like, has like a picture of a cow on it. Just like,
right.
This is what this is for.
Right.
This is what you drink this with.
It makes sense. So I want to talk about this grape a little bit longer because the grape is normally used for brandy.
Huh. And so you shut your mouth. Shut your dirty mouth.
Again, I didn't think we wanted to do a pairing of this compared to brandy so early in the morning.
Welcome to Brandy and Broadway.
Yeah.
Mm. That would be fun.
Sign me up.
So what happened was it was grown in the western part of the Loire Valley, this grape, and in the early, I think it was like 1600s, phylloxera is this huge disease that wiped out basically all the grapes in France, and they had to start over.
Whoa.
Like all of Europe, all of its winemaking had to stop.
That's crazy.
And I don't like this.
It was nuts. And so the grape Follet Blanche was part of that. And when they tried to regrow it again, or when they started planting things to regrow, a lot of people were like, we're not going to plant that one again because it rots really easily, and it's pretty prone to disease. So why are we going to plant it if it's not going to do very well? And so this grape actually isn't used very often, which is why it's kind of obscure.
Mm.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the rest of the podcast.
So let's go ahead and sniff it.
Okay.
Super bright.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's fresh.
Yeah. It smells like a wine that you have to take care of or else it will rot really fast.
It's true, right? Super citrusy.
Mm-hmm. Again. I don't know if it's just me, but, like, I'm smelling a lot of, like, lemongrass.
Yes.
I feel like I've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just the wine that we've been drinking. But
yeah, definitely. But you're totally right. Lemongrass and also, like, that lemony, limey citrus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take you to a beach.
Totally.
So bright.
It does.
Yeah.
But then there's also, like, this salinity to it.
Yeah.
I want to take it to the beach so much. Like, I want to put it in a swimming pool. Like,
yes.
This is just a full of just swim in a full vat of,
of this.
Yeah.
Of this.
Well, okay, let's taste it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little too easy to drink.
Right?
It's really good.
It's a little too easy to drink. Too early in the morning.
So you get the citrus and the, like, fruit forwardness of, like, those pitted fruits or, like, a little bit of nectarine in there. Like some sour cherry.
Yeah.
But also, because it was aged sur lee, so sur lee means that it was aged with the yeast, like in contact with the yeast.
Oh, wow.
And because of that, it has a little bit more body to it.
Yeah.
Than you would think with something that would be this bright and fresh.
Yeah, it's really full-bodied.
Yeah. And that's all from aging it with its yeast.
I'm
right there.
Noticing the sourness now that you've said it, and it's like sour is not a thing that I normally like go after, but I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, well, or like pineapple.
With pineapple. That's it feels tropical, which is weird, but it's and maybe the sourness a little bit mixed in with that.
Yeah, but. It can't be paired, like, this wine should not be paired with, like, a really heavy meal because it will be super overpowered really, really easily.
Yeah, that's why there's not a photo of, like, a cow.
Right?
Or something.
No cows.
Oh, no. You know, like, wines that have, like, photos of people on it? Do you think that's what they're, like, they're cannibal wines? They're trying to pair.
Okay.
But what about
the ones with, like, giraffes on them?
Oh, even worse. Oh, no. Or, like just pictures of, like, photos or, like, you know, of chairs. Do they want us to, like, eat chairs? I don't like this anymore. I'm done. I'm out.
No more pictures.
No more pictures. No more wine.
Okay. So as we sip on this delicious wine. Oh, and I didn't even tell our listeners what it is.
That's what?
Okay, so listeners, this is the 2017 Pearl Blue, P-E-R-L-E, and then blue spelled B-L-E-U-E in the French spelling. And it's from the Chateau de la Yussonnière. And the winemaker is Gilbert Chaun. And this is a winery that makes a couple of different wines from that Muscadet Serve et Maine region from the western part of the Loire Valley. And the grape is Follet Blanche.
Where would be a good place to, like, get this?
Well, the cool thing about this is that it's kind of it's pretty widely available from what I learned in my research.
Oh.
How much do you think this bottle of wine cost?
Oh, God. 27 oysters.
27 oysters? No.
No?
It did not cost 27 oysters. It cost $12.99.
Whoa.
Right? And normally I don't talk about prices.
Just choked, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Because it's such a good
that's
deal.
That's a steal, yeah.
Yeah. I bought this from Some Good Wine downtown in New York on 8th Street over by NYU. I love them there. If you just go in and mention Tannins and Tunes, they know what they're talking about.
That's awesome.
I literally just go in and throw shows at them. they are great about it. And let's talk just for a second before we get into you, Catherine, and before we get into the show. I picked this wine for this show because it's so light and breezy and approachable, but it also has that body to it. It also has that depth to it. That I think that Anastasia is one of those shows where we blow it off thinking like, oh, it's a movie for kids and it's really fun and cute and princessy. But it has so much more to it that people don't think about.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So let's talk about your journey here a little bit. So you grew up in the Solomon Islands, which is awesome.
What?
Yeah. I grew up overseas. So Solomon Islands is off the coast of Australia. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a missionary and worked with the Chekaholo people on the island of Santa Isabel. So I lived there until I was about 8, and then we moved to Texas.
It's a normal life. Surreal. Just every day.
Yeah, just your typical. No. Yeah. It's really, I mean, when I think about it now, I feel like it has influenced a lot of my life, but it's something that it's so far away now that it sometimes feels like a dream, or it's weird when I even say it out loud to people, because I'm like, meh, that's my life.
Right.
But it's a huge part of my life, yeah.
Totally.
Almost like Anastasia.
Almost like it. Amnesia.
Well, and then you moved to Texas.
Yeah.
Ooh, Texas what girls up? Over here. We
the
actually grew
never.
Up.
All three Texas girls. All three Texas girls. Yeah. All right.
We actually grew up not that far from each other.
So weird.
I think that is a trend. It's either for you, it's like you either, all our guests are either you met them through congregation coaching or they like live 20 minutes away from you.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Yes.
It's so weird. Yeah.
It is
small world.
It is the tiniest world. And I feel like we even have this like cohort of Texans.
Yeah.
Especially in Broadway and in the musical theater industry that like if we were all to get together, it would be astounding.
We should plan that.
We really should. We
Mafia.
Really should.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mafia party.
I don't like that.
Well, you can get your California people together because I feel like that's probably the second most.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking just like landmass, then I think Alaska's the first, right? We got a lot. Where's my Alaska Broadway performers?
Well, I can tell you though, Alaska loves Broadway. Because
really?
Okay, so when I went up to do Peter Pan in Anchorage,
they love sleeping in the daytime and the Broadway.
It was sold out
really
every single night. This 3,000 seat gorgeous theater,
whoa,
completely sold out every night, and people were coming from like all over Alaska to Anchorage.
Wow,
because this was their opportunity.
That's really cool.
It was really neat, and they love it.
That's awesome.
So go Alaska.
Go Alaska. Shout out.
Shout out. Yeah, we gotta make a Broadway in Alaska.
Honestly.
A super cold Broadway.
And they have some really cool bars and things that are there, especially in Anchorage. Yeah, some really fun places. But the weirdest part is we would get out of the show at, 9:30, 10, and it's still light. Like, it looks like it's the sun is setting.
That is so bizarre.
And so you would come out and be like, yeah, let's go out, whatever. And and you're out till like 2-3 in the morning because you don't notice.
Yeah, you
there's
can't.
No sense of time. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Insanity. We're that's like me. Now, where it's 4:30 nighttime.
Bedtime.
Yep, exactly.
I'm already asleep right now.
So we drink wine at 10 a.m.
Right. This does make sense.
It all works.
So you started doing theater in the Dallas area once you had moved there, right?
I did, yeah. I grew up in a pretty musical family, but I never really did any shows or anything growing up, just singing around with the fam.
Like a Von Trapp family?
Kind of, yeah.
My no.
Dad, it's true. My dad and my mom are amazing, and they just love music, so it's always a part of our household, but... Mm-hmm. It was never something that I even ever took seriously until high school, but I started just like scouring around and figuring out there's community theater you could be a part of. And I found really cool friends. That's like how it always starts, right?
Yes.
You find a community and you're like, I belong here. Yeah. And I just discovered that I just wanted to do it more than anything else. And that's where it always takes off.
Yeah.
When you realize you can't do anything else.
Yeah. And then you went to CCM, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I heard you just had Greg on here.
I did.
It's so fun.
Right?
He's in my class. He's
and
my
other CCM people, including Christine Smith.
Yeah. My
who
bestie.
I used to dance with.
That's awesome.
Yep. She was on the pod. A bunch of CCM
that's awesome.
People. For some reason, I think it was just like that time when things not started changing. I mean, it's always been like a beautiful, wonderful school. But about the time when I went to college, I knew other people that were going there, so I got a little bit involved.
Yeah.
And I feel like I moved to New York knowing people from other schools.
Yeah.
Which totally. Is weird.
Yeah.
It is weird, but it's one of those things that it's such a small community, I think, mm-hmm. I realized when we moved here, that everyone's just one degree away from everyone
exactly.
else.
Exactly, yes, 100%.
It's a big family reunion.
Every
like.
Single day.
I know you somehow.
So how was that first year out of college in New York? What was that like for you?
Ooh, it was challenging.
Yeah?
It was really challenging. I think it's something they don't really prep you for in school. You know, a lot of people expect... when you go to musical theater school and then you graduate that you'll automatically walk in to the city with just walk in to jobs and you know you're just going to waltz on into the business like you belong there.
You're going to not finish your class to go book a tour?
Yeah.
Greg.
Yeah, Greg. Truly, though, I mean, you see this happen to so many people who are in your community where they just book work immediately after school. And so you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. And then you walk in and you realize that you have to have 4 jobs to even survive in New York City. Mm-hmm. And those are not even including your auditions, which is sometimes a full-time job.
Right.
This is one of them. And I don't even get paid. We need to talk about this.
Yeah, you should really work that out, I think.
I'm so sorry.
Free labor over here.
We need to get those sponsors.
I get paid in wine.
I get paid in wine.
Hey.
That's not a bad way.
It's a good way.
Truly.
It works. So good. Actually, you know what? Now I need to go to all my other jobs and be like, I don't want money.
Just
I want wine.
Just more wine.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a balancing act, though, I think, to figure out how to find the job, the survival job that really doesn't suck your energy and your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still make enough money to live in the city and see your friends every once in a while.
Right.
And yeah, it's just a bunch of things, such a balancing act of life. And I think that's something they don't really talk about in school. So when you're slapped in the face with it right after graduating, it's a lot to take in. And a lot of your friends do go do regional work. So then you find that you're by yourself in the city auditioning and trying to make new friends and living on your own. Because college is very different. Musical theater college is like summer camp. You know what
yes,
I mean?
100%.
So summer camp.
It really is,
yeah.
Which is such a cool thing and it's such a gift. But at the same time, I don't think it really teaches you a lot of
a lot of life skills.
Responsibility. It teaches you how to take hard criticism and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a thick skin. But it doesn't really teach you about getting up to go work your job and then going to the next job and then going to that. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. What has one of your favorite survival jobs been?
Oh, man, I've run the gamut.
Yeah, you talked about something that doesn't suck your soul, and I was like, I need to. What is.
So I've done the usual babysitting, you know, restaurant jobs, all those. I've also worn a sandwich board and stood in Times Square handing out flyers for a dental convention. So
yes.
That was really fun.
I'm so sorry. I sometimes do this thing where I like cut off listening to the sentence before I hear it, and I thought you were going to say I wore a sandwich.
I wore a sandwich one time in Times Square. I might as well have been, to be honest.
For all that it is. I was like, I had the Elmos around me. I was
it's
just
real.
Like,
yeah.
Mommy, Daddy,
naked cowboys,
sandwich.
Like, I want you. No, get away. Yeah, done that. I've handed out spices down on the Lower East Side, which is such a random gig,
yeah.
But it was really cool because I was just hearing all these cool spices to people and taste testing those.
That's neat, actually.
Yeah, it's funny because it really does make you appreciate every job that people work, mm-hmm. You know.
Welcome
now.
To Spices and Songs now. What's the spice that would pair well with Anastasia?
Ooh, pair well with Anastasia. I think coriander.
Ooh.
I don't really know why, but I feel it in my bones. It's so silly. But there are literally so many different jobs you can do. I realize Craigslist is just full of them.
Yes.
And if you ever need to make money, watch out.
Craig.
Yeah, if any kids listen to this, maybe. Well, that's not the,
like,
not the route.
Also, like, the wine industry doesn't really promote jobs very well.
Yeah.
And it's on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you find jobs in wine.
Yeah, I've actually heard that.
Yeah. Or they have, like, one... I want to call it a call board, and that's not what it's called.
It's the sandwich.
the sandwich board. They have one place where people will put up jobs, and it usually has to be in, like, with the people who are giving out wine certifications. They have, like, a job opportunities.
That's cool.
Board, but that's only in New York have I ever seen that. Otherwise, it's word of mouth, it's Craigslist,
yeah.
Whatever.
That's how I got this job.
Craigslist.
Right. Craigslist. I didn't know Jessica.
Whoa,
that's
scary.
Yeah. She was like, W seeking M. Or W seeking K, CH, co-host.
So funny. Must have done cats.
Yeah.
Must have done cats. Okay, now that I took a really big sip of my wine, let's talk a little bit about your journey into Anastasia. So you had done Gigi on Broadway as the swing. And did that lead into Anastasia? Did you meet people, like, on the creative team that kind of crossed over?
It actually did not at all, which
is
so funny. I feel like sometimes they do. They're springboards. Mm-hmm. It was actually, there was nobody associated with the other show. I left to do the Ghost of... Wow. 10:30 a.m.
10:30.
Welcome. morning, tans and tunes.
I left to go do some regional work and then came back. And it's one of those weird things when the stars just kind of align and there's one track that opens up for the Broadway company and it's the one that you happen to maybe be right for. So I had heard about the out of town. I had friends who'd done it and stuff like that, but I'd never even auditioned for it before or anything like that. And it's one of those things that just happens so fast. I came back, had one audition, call back the next day, and then got it 2 days later. So
wow.
It's like, bam, bam, bam. Yeah, it's like a crazy story.
Moms and friends, like, you can't see this, but my mouth is agape. Yeah, this is not, I don't know if you know, this is not a visual podcast. It's all ears.
All the ears. Yeah, it's crazy how fast it can happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how it happened in Gigi, too. Because it's also a swing track, and they were looking for someone to cover the lead, and it was like, well, just going to go in and learn all the material, and we'll just see what happens. And, yeah, I'm really thankful. I actually found out on election day that I got Anastasia, which
was
the most roller coaster of a day because that morning I was like, this is the best day ever.
Oh,
and I was like,
it's
just going to get better.
Right?
And then, you know.
Oh, I don't know if you know, this is a very red state podcast.
Okay.
No, it is.
I mean, I respect, but, you know, it was very different than what I thought it was going to be that day.
No,
so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We record in New York.
Your microphone cover's blue.
Oh. It was like,
dead giveaway.
Why are you pointing at? That's true. If you have something blue on your person, you're a blue state.
Duh.
That's
yeah.
how
it works.
That's how politics works.
That's blue wave.
Yes, you
Everybody's
are
thinking blue now.
Almost kind of red. You know, orange. I don't know what politics orange is, but you know.
We're making our own politics nowadays.
Truth. Hashtag millennials.
I got a question about Anastasia.
Yes.
How many bats are in it? talk about the bats.
It's so sad. There are zero bats.
There are zero bats. I don't like this.
It's sad.
End of podcast. End of
there
show.
There is a bat that sits in our stage manager's office, which is great. Bartok is there.
He must look.
He has actually, Darko, our director, used to joke that he was Bartok, which is a great visual if you've
really
ever met Darko.
Yeah.
He's the best.
I haven't.
You will. And when you do. No, he's walking in the door. No, he's awesome. But he would joke about that because it is sad. It's sad there's no bat. Yeah. He was always the best part of the movie. But.
Well, and I was reading that they took out all of the occult things on purpose.
Yeah.
Do you know anything behind that?
I know that they just wanted it to feel a little more true to the historical aspect of it.
Totally.
And really give
it
a little more.
That's what kids love.
That's what they love,
they
all
love
the history.
The history.
But they wanted it to be for adults too, I think, which is why they, and we're talking about full bodiness. I think they really wanted to give the show a little more depth and a little more sustenance as opposed to,
It's
totally
certainly
to write it off as a,
Yeah. It's certainly a musical that has been kind of like Newsies, where it was this thing where it was just like, when is it coming to Broadway?
Yeah.
When is it?
So
like,
much anticipation.
Right. It's this thing that's like, no, duh, this should be on Broadway.
I remember in college, I was like scanning Playbill to see what was coming. And, you know, you can see the next year of like potential Broadway shows. This is like my senior year of college. Anastasia was on the list. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, like seven years ago now. So it's crazy. It can take a while. It
takes a long time to get a show to Broadway.
Where's the bat?
You know, it's sad. A lot of kids who come see our show have never seen the movie because, you know, it was
our,
it was like
dumb
for us.
Kids. Yeah. You weren't alive then? Dumb kids.
I know, come on. No, but it's funny because I just automatically assume everybody has, especially when they're a younger generation or even our generation. I'm like, you've seen the movie. But there's some people who are like, no, I've never seen it, which is crazy. It's such a good one. If you haven't seen Anastasia, this is your plug.
Yes, definitely.
It's the best.
Tandem and Tunes brought to you by Anastasia. On DVD and Blu-ray.
The musical is even better, though, I must say.
Well, so as a person who loves both the musical and the movie, I was surprised to see Journey to the Past as the finale of Act 1. Designed to be in the movie. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Totally. I think that song is so iconic that they really wanted it to have a special place in the show. Because in the movie, it does come so fast in the beginning, and it really takes you by surprise if you just because it's so memorable and you remember that song. So I think they wanted to find a special place for it. And as someone who's performed it now in that order, where it comes at the end of her whole first act of searching and journeying, I think it makes so much more sense because it really does kind of define her whole journey, and it has a sense of like, I'm coming home finally at last, as opposed to, I don't know where I'm going, we'll find out, you know. But
we'll,
the words themselves are actually written, I think, more to be coming home in like a grounding kind of sense.
Well, and then the song In My Dreams is kind of used as the, okay, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
Like, here's what you missed.
Yeah.
Here's where we're going. And then Journey to the Past is, okay, I'm settled in this journey.
I've been safe and wanted finally home where I belong. Well, starting now, I'm learning fast on this journey to the
opportunity to write some more music that is so good.
Yeah. There are 16
amazing.
New songs.
It's crazy.
You shut your mouth. Shut your dirty mouth.
And they're just so good.
There are only six or seven songs from the movie.
Yeah.
And 16 new ones, which is incredible. Nuts. There's a whole new character of Gleb.
Yeah.
Is it a bat?
No, but he is a villain.
He is a villain. Yeah.
because we don't have Rasputin, which honestly is probably a good thing. Because
I was terrified of Rasputin as a kid. Yeah, I really was.
Like that was the monster under my bed.
Yeah.
Oh,
100%.
The monster under my bed was the lead actor, lead character's side part. I was oh god. So scared. What are we doing in the 90s? Everybody had side parts.
You mean a middle part?
A middle part.
Middle part.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's when we learned the side part that everything changed.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness that came.
I know.
Well, and this...
I thought we were
actually
toast to the side part.
Pick up your
well, here we go.
Here
cheers
go.
To the side cheers. Part. Making an appearance.
Amazing. But Gleb, I think they did turn into a really nice villain. In both like a well-written villain and like a nice villain. Like at the end.
Yeah. He does the right thing.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's such a tricky character too. The people who've played it are amazing because it's got a lot of depth and it's not your usual villain that you would have at a musical.
Right.
And so he has to be endearing and also have his own inner turmoil with like his whole family legacy, but also be intrigued by her, maybe in love with her. Like some of them have played like they're kind of into her. Some are not into her at all. It's more like I've got this duty to do, you know, so it's really multi-layered and complex. And
it's very similar to Javert.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, definitely. He's righteous, but which, you know, in his mind, he is right. He's got to kill her. You got to do it.
And Gleb will be played by Russell Crowe in the movie.
He will, probably.
And you have gotten to work with both Judy Kay and Mary Beth Peel, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
They're amazing.
They're
like legends.
They
crazy.
Are. Yeah. I always think of Mary Beth Peel as Dawson's Creek.
Absolutely. When I met her, I was like, you're the grandma. Yeah.
Right?
She's awesome. I mean, and now we have Penny Fuller, actually.
Yes,
so we've
Penny
had three.
Fuller.
Yeah, she just came in this week, and she's wonderful,
you
too.
You shut your mouth. You shut your dirty mouth.
I love this phrase.
Why is this not working, people?
Why is this working?
So tell me, you have gotten to play Anya. Mm-hmm. Which is incredible. But what are some of the other tracks that you get to go in for?
Yeah, so I cover...
Gleb. You get to play Gleb?
Sometimes. Understudy rehearsal, you'd be surprised. No rules.
We just need somebody. We just need somebody right now.
Anybody. Yeah, I cover eight people, including Anya. So this week I'm on for the Tsarina.
Yes.
The mother of all the little chickadees. And it's really fun. The dress itself is, like, crazy.
Yeah, those
heavy
costumes.
And it's insane. So it's fun to actually... to be able to put on those different costumes and see. I actually have my own Tsarina dress they built me, which is even crazier.
Nice.
So it doesn't even feel like I'm putting on someone else's. It feels like I'm putting on my own. And, that's a really fun one. I play, like, the Countess Gregory, who's this, like, floozy, you know, their aristocracy that are now in France. And it's fun to hop into, like, various ensemble bits here and there. They're all very different. They all have their own, you know, personalities.
Right?
And it's fun to watch the women who play them and try to emulate them a little bit. Because when you're a swing, you don't have a lot of leeway with what you change or what you make your own.
Right.
But it's fun to kind of, like, mimic people. And it's definitely
totally.
A good study in people. I have the best people to study, too. They're so fun.
Oh, good.
Do you have any fun, like, last-minute swing stories? That's always what, like,
always.
Gets me and, like,
I
fascinates
know.
Me about being a swing.
It's
like
crazy.
You have to just go.
Yeah. Just recently, about a month ago, our Tsarina came in and thought she could do the show. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, our show is so wonderfully, we say this, it's an awesome show to be a part of because you can do it eight times a week. Like, a lot of shows have, like, a huge, crazy jump split or something that really takes its wear and tear on your body in a huge way.
Mm-hmm.
Our show is very active, but it's really doable. So a lot of people come in, even if they're, feeling a little bit under the weather, which is just to say that, like, it's awesome to be a part of a show. You can do eight shows a week and not kill yourself.
Right.
But there are sometimes you come in and you realize you actually can't do the show. So our Tsarina came in and was feeling pretty ill. And she's like, I think I could do it. And then at the last minute I had to call out. So then it's like scrambling to put, you know, with like 5 minutes to spare, throwing on a corset and some kind of makeup. And that's like happened many, many times. But it's fun for me too because it keeps me on my toes. It's been a year and a half now. And there are days that I don't ever want to walk in and feel complacent or feel like, yeah, and you kind of just think that you take it for granted when you walk in. You're like, I'm not on tonight. Like, 2 minutes before curtain, they're like, hey, Catherine.
And you're like, oh,
We have a lot of mid-show swing-ons where people just get injured or they, like, twist something or they, you know, come upstairs or they are in the bathroom getting sick because they had something last night for dinner that wasn't great. You know, it's just a weird...
Some oyster wine.
Some oyster wine. 10:30 in the morning. It'll get you.
Right now.
And how do you balance that? Like, how do you balance that being a person and keeping yourself healthy and and it's mentally and physically, but also doing your job?
Yeah. It's a fine balance. I realized when I first started being a swing, I put my whole life on hold because, you know, you want to be ready at a moment's notice to do it. And in a lot of ways, it taught me a lot of discipline. And then I realized that I kind of stopped living my life for a little bit where I wouldn't go out with friends to have a nightcap because I wanted to make sure that I was ready the next morning, you know?
Right.
And I think over the years I've learned that you just have to live your life and be a person first and foremost. And I think it honestly has informed my work in a better way where I'm such a perfectionist, which is a good and a bad thing in a swing because you want to be really good at your job, but also everything is going to go wrong all the time because that's just life theater in general. But then also when you're swing, things morph and change, so you can't always be exactly perfect all the time. You just got to let it go. So it's nice to just have this attitude of like, you know what, I'm going to live my life, and if I'm on tomorrow, cool. If I'm not on tomorrow, cool. But what's important is seeing my friend tonight or, you know, important is not.
Is that nightcap?
Yes. With the oyster wine.
And what are some of the things that you do when you're not on stage?
Oyster wine. I like to walk my dog. I love the dog, and she's the best. I really like to go to the gym just for my own mental sanity.
Yeah.
A lot of yoga. I love to read. I've been getting on these book clubs lately. I think I'm a part of 3 book clubs now.
Oh my gosh,
crazy! But it's so nice.
I
really do.
You really read them?
I know. Yeah, I'm like that nerd.
Just not an excuse to drink Chardonnay at 10:30 in the morning.
The book clubs themselves are an excuse. We like show up. You're like, we're not gonna talk about that. We are gonna drink the wine. But it is so nice to have people who are also reading because then you know. It actually forces me to read, which I really enjoy. But if I'm not, there's so much Netflix out there nowadays that I'm also behind on.
Ooh,
that's the truth.
It's
what
real.
Are you reading? What are you Netflixing?
I love this. I just finished a book called When Breath Becomes Air. So good. Anyone's looking for some? And Becoming by Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so good. Those two.
They're turning that into a graphic novel. I don't know if you know.
They're not.
I was like, wait, really?
it's going to be like a crossover with like the Avengers and Batman.
Honestly, of all people that could be a superhero, Michelle Obama.
Yeah, sign me up. That's amazing. I love that. I just finished The Final Table on Netflix.
So good. Yeah.
They're rocking it. Yeah.
I am super into Tidying Up right now.
Yes.
Along with everybody else.
I haven't started it, but I have watched every YouTube video about her folding a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And now all day I'm just trying to get my shirt to stand up straight.
That's amazing.
Peter came back from a trip and I cleaned his room for him while he was gone. And he was like, you were watching that show, weren't you?
It's amazing.
It's not about what... Jessica, it's not about what sparks your joy.
Right.
It's about what sparks my joy.
I threw everything away. I'm like, this does not spark joy for you. It's not you right now.
Yeah. Now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to play games right now. Oop.
So, we have a game today, and it is called Finish That Lyric.
Oh, no.
I'm going to do this and this.
You will have to, I'm going to give you the first part of the lyric, and then you just have to give me the next 5 words of the lyric. And these are all movies that are musicals that have either been movies or were turned into movies.
This is for me. Yeah, this is
and for Jimmy.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'm glad it's not just me.
So come up with your buzzing sound.
Oh.
It's like a ding or a buzz or a whatever.
I love what you just did. I don't know if you, but you closed your eyes to just imagine your sound.
Imagine my ding. Okay.
What is your ding?
Oh. Ding.
Perfect. I'm going to do that 10:30. Ding.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to ding, baby.
Okay, here we go. We're going to start off easy. We're off to see the wizard. Ding.
The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to say.
It seemed too easy for me. I was, I second guessed it because, you know.
I thought that there was going to be more. I thought it was going to be like the Wonderful Wizard of.
Oh.
So she just like stopped.
The Wizard of Oz.
No, you were no.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, her, not you.
Oh, okay.
You're perfect. You're a wonderful human being. You shut your dirty mouth.
Right. Thanks, Jimmy. My mom will appreciate that. Okay, here we go. A spoonful of sugar.
Ding. Ding.
Oh, go for it, Jimmy.
Please.
Helps the medicine go down.
Yes.
I don't like this.
I could have danced all night and. Ding. Still have.
Oh, shoot. Still have wished for more.
Ding.
Nope.
Ding, baby. Still have begged for more.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She's on her hands and knees banging.
Okay, so we have 2-1. Getting to know you. Getting.
Ding. To know all about you?
Yep, that's it.
These are, like, oddly hard.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Yeah, take it out of context.
Yep. Razzle dazzle them, give them an act with.
Shoot.
Give them. Say that again.
Razzle dazzle them, give them an act with.
I'm totally.
Ding. Shine.
Nope.
Here, I'll give you. I will give you the beginning of each of the next words.
So it goes. So this is from Chicago. And it's L-O-F-I-I are the beginnings of the words.
Oh, L-O-F-I-I. Yeah. Okay, say the.
So, razzle-dazzle him, give him an act with.
With.
Lots of. We could do this together.
Fine.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Items.
Items, Jinx.
Definitely not, but.
Nope, nope.
Give them an act with lots of flash in it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. This is sad. I've never seen Chicago. Not even the movie.
Oh.
Terrible. I know.
Right?
Yeah.
There are so many bats in it. You need to see it. There are so many bats.
Well, actually, and I know that when this comes out, it will probably not be true, but right now as we're recording, Charlotte Dubois is in it with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah. It's a good time to go see it. Okay. Here we go. To dream the impossible dream.
My boyfriend's going to be so mad at me if I don't get this. I can just see
is
it now.
Is your boyfriend Don Quixote?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like, honey, stop. Get away from that windmill. Get away. No.
Oh,
come
no.
back to bed.
Oh, this is so bad. I'm so embarrassed.
So it's T-F-T-U-F.
To dream the impossible. It's also a word game.
Yeah.
Dream the impossible dream.
To buzz ding. Uh-huh. To fight the unbeatable foe.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Very good, Jimmy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your boyfriend.
Me too.
There was a time when men were kind.
Ding.
Mm-hmm.
I know this whole song. Hold on. Time when men were kind. Their voices were soft.
Yes.
Like. Thunder.
Yeah. You can just do when their voices were soft.
Great, when
that.
Their voices were soft.
Okay. I like it.
Okay.
Mamma Mia, here I go again. My, my.
Ding.
Yeah.
How can I resist, Jeff?
Yes!
Something has changed within me.
Ding. Something is not the same.
Yes.
Ding, I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game.
Okay, we can't just do the
ding,
whole
ding. Too long for second guessing.
Let's put on the karaoke track. I think you want to sing.
This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Ding.
Ding.
This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
That's it.
Yeah.
Those are the only lyrics, right?
The Age of Aquarius.
The Age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius.
Did I not say that?
You just repeated it.
Yeah.
Oh, you have.
It wasn't totally right.
I'm sorry. Semantics. I thought this was a lyrics game, not.
I get no kick from champagne, mere alcohol.
Ding.
Mm-hmm.
Can't thrill me at all.
Ding.
No.
Doesn't thrill me at all.
Oh, I knew there was a wrong word in there.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth.
Ding.
Uh-huh.
is I never left you.
Yep.
Yes. The truth is I never left you.
I always like wait for a second to like let
to
you.
For me?
Yeah.
Wait, so you're letting me win?
No, I'm not. I'm just like checking. It's like you. I'm
Does
not.
She know? Does she know?
Okay, we have two more.
Okay.
Here we go. Far, far away, someone was weeping.
Oh. What?
What is this from?
What is this from?
This is from Joseph.
Oh.
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 Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
This is totally out of context. What are you doing to us? What are you
this
doing
is a
to
challenging
us?
You can sing it. Far, far away, someone was weeping.
Ding. No. Do I win?
The ahs don't count.
I win. Mom, I win.
Oh, you win. You win.
Colin. Oh, ding. The earth was sleeping?
Close.
Oh.
Close.
Oh. Ding, the world was sleeping?
But you're forgetting one word at the beginning.
Oh, man.
The world was sleeping.
Uh-huh. It's, but the world was sleeping. But I'll give it to you because you got
it. That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay, last one. Here we go. All day long, I'd bitty-bitty bum if...
Ding, I were a wealthy man.
Yes.
My favorite musical. I love it. Dream part.
Yes, Evia.
Is Zero Mostel.
It's true.
Have you seen the Yiddish version?
It's so good.
It is.
I wept like a baby. Yeah. It was so cool to sit next to, you know, people who actually speak Hebrew and to have them react because the translation is different.
Right.
And it actually makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. Anyways, because it's been translated into, because it was English originally.
Right.
But for them to hear it in their own native tongue, it's like, whoa. It's really cool.
It's really neat. I was talking, I was not talking to her. I should not say it like that. I was listening to Lynn Aaron speak. At a conference about when they translated Rocky into German.
Ooh.
And how hard it was for her and Steven, but especially her, because the lyrics don't translate right.
Yeah.
And so on the song Raining, there's a part about it being like, I'm overflowing.
Crazy.
And that did not translate
work.
At all. And the German translator was like, okay, so what this word is saying is that there is a bucket and it is overflowing, but I don't think that's what you mean.
That's so funny.
No, that's exactly what I mean.
That's exactly
that's it.
I am a bucket.
I'm an overflowing bucket. Put it down.
So great job, Catherine.
Thank
winning
you.
Your game.
Did I win? You let me win, though.
I didn't let you win.
No,
I didn't let you win. I just went. I wasn't letting you win. It was like just like. Oh,
we'll see if she goes.
I don't know why I was just like, oh, I should check in with her first.
So
I should have been ruthless.
So, yeah, you should have.
Do it again.
Competitive.
Well, Catherine, tell us where our listeners can follow you on social media, any cool things that you want to plug that you have going on.
You can find me on Instagram at Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, _ Boswell. Or on Facebook, send me a little message. We can be friends. I also love Pinterest. No one ever uses Pinterest, but if you want to find me on there,
what are you
looking for? Oh my gosh, I love Pinterest. So you can find me at Catherine Boswell too. I'm there for that. Nothing really to plug. Just like chugging along, loving life. Yeah,
I love it, Jimmy.
That's wonderful.
Where can people find you?
People can find me on this, what is happening with my voice right now?
Oh no! Some water. Early morning.
Yeah. That's nice. So right there. We've got it right back. Oh, welcome back. You can find me on find me on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson. Tell me your hopes, your fears, your dreams. And find me on Twitter at Jimmy _ Robertson. Where can people find you, Jessica?
People can find me at JMHumphrey1 on all of the things. That's Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. And you can follow Tansen Tunes on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And also you can always send us an email at TansenTunes@gmail.com. Jimmy, one thing before we go. We have some reviews.
What?
That we have to pair with
some
wines.
Oh, my gosh.
So one thing that we like to do on Tans and Tunes is if you leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, we will pair your username with a wine.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's
which
a lot of fun.
It's really, really exciting, and we have some fun reviews. So we're going to start out with, Let's do number one TNT fan.
Number one TNT fan. Who is this? Is this my mom again?
I don't know. But it says, this podcast is always exciting with Jessica and Jimmy. Their love for musical theater and wine really shines through. Never a dull moment. Oh. Ever.
And we love you.
Number one TNT fan. Number one TNT fan, you need to go out and get yourself. You know what I am loving right now and that I can't recommend more?
What?
Is Trader Joe's has a boxed wine.
Ooh.
And I am all about having boxed wine because it's like having wine on tap in your house.
Yeah, it is.
Is it the pink one? She was literally drinking wine, a boxed wine out of the box before we started recording a podcast recently.
That's
where
amazing.
We drank wine.
Oh my God. No, that was Maison Cuvée, which I really also love. But I love that you can get this at Trader Joe's. I usually get the Cabernet Sauvignon or the Syrah. And it's really great. So, number one TNT fan, go out, get yourself a box of wine. It's better for the environment anyway.
Yeah.
And thank you for being number one TNT fan.
Oh, we're number one fan of you.
And we will continue to read these reviews and pair your username with a wine in the next couple of episodes.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming.
Thank
because
you.
It's super important in the iTunes algorithm thing if we get
we
ratings
don't know how it
and
works,
reviews.
But
it's magical. Also, every time that we get a new review on iTunes or Stitcher, we'll donate $1 towards fire relief in Napa Valley. So we are all about that right now.
Do you think reading these reviews, because they were like, do you think they're a journey into the past?
Oh, they are. They are a journey into the past.
Oh.
See what you did there. And cue.
Ready.
Awesome. Catherine, thank you so, so much
thank
for joining us.
Thank you.
So much fun.
Oh,
so did you win the game.
I did not let you win. And I want a rematch.
It's good for my confidence.
It's okay. We can all go out singing far, far away.
Someone was leaving.
And the world was sleeping. Any dream will do.
You guys are so much fun.
You are.
And with luck, we won't be shot. Who else can pull it off but me and you? We'll be rich. We'll be rich. We'll be out. We'll be out. And St. Petersburg will have some more to talk about.
The biggest con in history,
the Princess Anastasia.
Chillest thing.
I just said so the good. Jurassic.
Okay, we're good. We're off to a great start.
And we know that that's going to be the first thing in the podcast.
It is. It will be.
I know this. I know you.